dumped my gene pool. I'm the dregs, okay? Yeah, they adopted me. Thanks, Lynn. If he was here, he would amen. Now, the point is, I've heard my wife say a jillion times, not only thank you, but my big bill can do anything. Sometimes that's how you protect him. Brad? God made you a help. There were already plenty of vultures created, and they didn't fit. Your husband doesn't need a vulture. He doesn't need somebody picking his bones. He doesn't need somebody picking him apart. What he needs is somebody that's helping him become the man God wants him to be, helping the marriage be what it was meant to be. So how do you become the family God wants you to be? If God started with a man, and God started with a woman, and God to be a marriage, this is what it took to be a marriage, what's the next step? To be a family, what does it take? Oh, I didn't put this one down. I didn't put this one down, and I'm going to put it down and let it lead us. They share the same purpose. That's how they become one flesh. I am amazed at the wisdom of God in lots of ways, but over 30 plus something years of counseling folks, I'm amazed at how destructive in-laws and outlaws can be to your family. I've sat couples in my office, and in premarital type counseling, I'll ask them, which family is the most important family? And say it in such a way almost to encourage an argument. Because the truth is, when two kids come out of very healthy families, they feel like their family is the best. Their family is the most important. It's magnified when somebody comes from a healthy family and one doesn't come from a healthy family at all. The one with the healthy family knows that their family is more important, and we got to follow their example, and we need to do what they want us to do because your family doesn't count. They stink. Which is the most important family? It's the one sitting right there, and that's what I tell them. I said, it's that family right there. Most important family is you two. Y'all are the most important family. That, what mama and daddy say, doesn't count anymore. It's you that matter. So what happens? What happens? What happens when you're creating a new marriage and you start a new family? What are our responsibilities there? That stay on the board. Don't go anywhere else. Just stay on the board from Genesis. We got lots of stuff in Proverbs, I know. We got lots of stuff in Ephesians and Colossians, I know. I want us to stay just what we've studied so far and draw a conclusion. If I want God to build my family into the kind of family He wants me to have and the kind of family we really want to have, where does it start? He's got to stay the center of that family. Where does that start? It starts with you. We've seen it. I can remember when I was a youth minister, we had parents who would, and it was amazing to me to watch, they would be not real kind and not real loving and not real forgiving. They wouldn't be very much like Jesus, but the dad finally decided that we were going to have a spiritual home, so they decided to have devotionals. And the kids could be watching all kinds of horrible things on TV, and they could be playing all kinds of horrible video games. And the dad would walk in and said, all right, you turn that stuff off. Now we're going to have a family devotional. And he would basically get all the kids together away from doing the fun things they were doing and yell at them for 30 minutes because he had church all over again for these kids. And he couldn't understand why his kids weren't responding. How come we're not growing as a family spiritually? Where does it start, y'all? I know you've said it, but I'm going to make you say it again. Where does it start? It with me. If, and Sue's right, if it is God being at the center of my family is the key to having the kind of family God wants me to have, how do I get it there? How do I get God in the center of my family? Get Him in my life. Get Him, make Him the center of me. It's not about assigning a time for God in your family. It's not about scheduling a devotional. It's about you living devoted. Isn't it kind of funny that we've even given the word devotion, we've given it a title and made it a special time? What is devotion? Oh, let's stop now. Okay, it's time to have a little devotion. I've heard us talk like that. What do we mean by that? No, it's time to wake up and us live that devotion, right? And I love reading my Bible. I love listening to my kids talk about the Bible. I loved all that. I think we did some really fun, creative stuff. But if I want God to be the center, it's not about my schedule. It's about my life. It's about who I am and how I live, and not just the way I act at church, not just the way I act when the preacher comes over, not just how I act when somebody's watching. If you grew up going to church, you had the experience. Family chaos getting ready for church in the morning. Dad gets up. Mom getting the kids ready. I didn't see this in my family, but I saw it in families where I visited when I was a preacher. And it was fascinating to watch. Dad gets ready, and while the mom's trying to get breakfast cooked and trying to get the kids ready, Dad's in there. He's already had his shower. He's already shaved. Hey, where's my socks? Where's my underwear? Where's my tie? And she has to stop what she's doing, run to go get them, because the Lord knows we men can't find anything. And we did that. I watched that, and then that old boy would sit in his chair and read the paper while she was still trying to bathe the kids, trying to dress the kids. That's when I first learned that they put the reason on babies, they put the snaps in the back, is because you can dress them a lot quicker. Just shove them in with your foot, you know, and then snap it and go. You can carry them off that way. I mean, here's this wife, she's trying to get all ready, and the husband, he's reading the paper. Kids are running around, and mom's spanking them and getting them ready and trying to get herself ready, and she's trying to put on her pantyhose and put on her makeup at the same time. He walks out and gets in the car and starts doing what? Honk, honk, honk. Ooh. And so she finally comes out. She's carrying his Bible, by the way, because man can't carry his own Bible. She comes in carrying all the Bibles. She's got all the kids, the diaper bag. She loads the kids up. Dad says, I tell you what, we're going to be late. I hate being late. Next time we're going to get up early on Sunday morning. And on the way to church, he's a grouch. Kids start playing or fighting, which sometimes kids do. You can't sit back there and shut up. We're going to church. We're going to race worship God. We're going to praise God. Pulls in the parking lot and an elder cuts him off. I knew that guy wasn't qualified to be an elder. Did you see how he did? That's a parking place. I've been parking there for years. And then he walks in the building, and the preacher meets him, sticks out his hand, and this old boy goes, "What, brother? Good to see you. God bless you." And the kids are going, "What happened to that dude, man? Mom, can we live in the church? You know, Dad's a lot nicer in here." We want to be the kind of family God wants us to be. Where does it start? Say it again. With me. With me being a man that is made in the image of God who keeps these responsibilities. I didn't invent the phrase, but I've repeated it enough that it's mine in my brain anyway. You want to be a good daddy? You love God. And then you love those kids' mama. One of the best things you can teach your kids is to love their mama. You want to be a good wife? You love God. You love your husband. You want to be a good mother? You love those kids' daddies. You don't help your kids build family by tearing down the one who is their dad or the one who is their mother, right? Now, let's talk practical for a second, then I'll hush. In this room, there's some of us that were blessed beyond blessed with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. There's other of us that, honest, we are second, third tried at getting a marriage right. And some of us still trying to get our own lives right. And some of us are living in the midst of a family trying to keep it together from when all kinds of things are trying to blow it apart. What do you do to have the kind of family God wants you to have? What do you do? And this, folks, this is right. It's just as Bible as can be. Where do you start? Say it. Where do you start? With me. Let's stop pointing fingers and say, my mama should have done that. No. What do I do? My daddy should. I know. I'm one of those daddies. I know. But where do you start? If you're going to rebuild, repair, restore your family, where do you start? With me. With me. And if you will be a man of God, a woman of God, if you will keep your responsibilities to your mates and to your children, God then will work in you to heal your family, to restore your family, to bless your family. We're watching it. We're watching it happen in this room. And we thank God for that, don't we? This morning when we remember Jesus, let's always thank Him for the gift He gave us. But let's make sure today we examine ourselves. Because when we finish today, when we tie the knot, we're going to look at, what do I need to change? What do I need to fix in me so that my family will be the kind of family it ought to be? We got one housekeeping thing we got to take care of, and then we'll tie the knot. And I need a definite in, or, well, you don't have to tell me if you're out, just tell me if you're in on this deal.